Mesdames et messieurs, excellences.
Ladies and gentlemen, excellency, I would first of all like to wish you all a warm welcome to this special meeting dedicated to the commemoration of the 70th anniversary of the adoption of the four Geneva Conventions of 1949. The decision to hold this commemoration meeting is no accident. Jointly with OCHA, we've sought to hold a special meeting devoted to this commemoration based on a profound conviction of the centrality of the Geneva Conventions in the international legal arsenal and the imperative need to promote them and to respect their provisions in order to protect populations, all populations, in all situations, in particular in times of war. These conventions together constitute the cornerstone of contemporary international humanitarian law. These are crucial legal instruments that the international community has to save humanity who find themselves at the heart of armed conflicts. However, it's sad to note that the same right is often flouted in conflict zones. People who don't participate in hostilities and should be fully protected by those conventions end up being the victims of grave violations. What's more, civilians today represent the vast majority of the victims of armed conflict. The most vulnerable categories of populations affected, particularly women and children, are now deliberately targeted in those conflicts. Sexual violations, gender-based violence, are common currency in zones fighting on the battlefield, in particular rape, which is increasingly being used as a weapon of war. Children are recruited by armed groups from a young age, denying them their childhood and their right to education. Civilian populations are often used as human shields, new methods of war, in particular street fighting, use of new technologies, or the use of, or the return, I should say, to chemical weapons, which we thought had been banished, have reappeared in many theaters of war on the battlefield, and this in full violation of those conventions. Medical and humanitarian personnel are not only regularly attacked, what's more, the infrastructure is frequently targeted. Even school facilities are no longer spared. Worse still, armed groups have no qualms about deliberately attacking blue helmets. They, instead of defending civilians and vulnerable populations, must first resist the dastardly attacks of armed groups and protect themselves, first of all, before they can protect civilian populations. All of these affronts to international humanitarian law are a cry to the universal conscience. They are the illustration that the reasons that led to the development of these Geneva Conventions 70 years ago, in the wake of the most atrocious war, are still very much relevant. Hence the vital need to reaffirm these conventions in order to oppose international humanitarian law against wars without rules and to guarantee protection of civilians. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, the current situation is of concern to us in more than one way. How is it possible that the Geneva Conventions should be still deliberately violated after so many years of outreach work, of work to popularize them and all the commitments assumed at international level? What are the factors that fuel and encourage violations of international humanitarian law and make them seem so trivial. What can one do? What can the international community do to remedy and meet these challenges and guarantee full respect for these conventions? What leverage do states, do our states have to bring to bear on parties to conflict, all parties to conflict, especially armed groups and non-state actors, to obligate them to fall into step with international humanitarian law? These are the crucial questions. Indeed, these, I might say that these are existential questions for international humanitarian law, which requires in-depth discussion. Thus, our meeting today is not solely one of commemoration. It offers an opportunity to contemplate together these issues and to reach recommendations which can allow us to meet the challenge of the respect for international humanitarian law and bolster its implementation in all situations. To achieve this goal, we have with us eminent experts in the field. Each one of the panelists will share with us their analysis, their experience, and above all, their vision for moving ahead. Before giving the floor to the moderator, Madame Bilal, I'd like to commend the presence and support that we have received from the colleagues from New York and our friend Mr. Mark Lowcock, Under Secretary General for Humanitarian Affairs and Relief Coordinator. In him and his team I received invaluable assistance. These were men, women, all committed to humanitarian issues, and I'm very pleased to have them with us here today during these 3 days, because OCHA's action on the ground is fundamental, and it's very important and highly appreciated throughout the world. But its role also in bolstering international humanitarian law is just as fundamental as its action on the ground, hence the importance of the observations they'll be making in just a few minutes' time. Our moderator today, Madam Anissa Bilal, is a strategic advisor on international humanitarian law and researcher in chief at the Geneva Academy. Madam Bilal is an expert in international law, in particular international humanitarian law and international human rights law. She has worked for numerous eminent bodies in this field, including the UN High Commission on Human Rights, the Swiss Department of Foreign Affairs, and the ICRC. She's also been assistant professor in international law at the Irish Centre for Human Rights in Ireland. Madam Bilal, you have the floor.